Thank you.
Pastor Ben Nunn, thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. as we gather today in what is a warm space, gladly, I extend also a warm welcome to everyone, whether you've been connecting with us for a little while or you're new or you're just a sometimes visitor. It's great to have everyone here today. But no matter what the weather is outside, it's always a beautiful day to delve into God's word and find out more about how he would like us to live and his love for us. So today we're going to continue our journey living the Beatitudes series. We're going to have a look at one of those many gems that Jesus spoke at the first part of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. This beatitude, like most of the others, or probably all of the others, really, encapsulates a divine calling and offers a roadmap to the way to live life in a way that honors God. So it is significant, and gladly its significance doesn't just stay in the context of Jesus and the surrounds there, but it goes across all generations and all times and cultures. In Jesus' time and world place, the world was often marked by discord and division and strife between even just the different Jews at the time, different Jewish factions, but also the Jews and the Romans and Jews and the Gentiles and a whole bunch of people. It was quite divisive and full of strife and misery at times. And in that way, the world unfortunately hasn't changed very much in the last 2,000 years. And so the call to be peacemakers is both an invitation and a solemn responsibility that we as believers have. So we'll reflect on that beatitude today, exploring its depth and its implications and hopefully gaining some practical steps of how to live it out. And we'll keep in mind those two Bible verses that we just read, Matthew 5:23-27 and Romans 12:18. So before we begin that journey together, let's begin it with open hearts and open minds by praying together. Dear God, thank you so much that you have gathered us here today to join with you, to connect with you, to learn your purpose for us this week. We ask that you open up our hearts and minds to your message and that anything that I have to say would be guided by you so that I would diminish what preconceived ideas I have, but we can hear what you have to tell us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I just start by saying I love how God works and that we serve a good God who clearly has a plan, because although some of these things obviously weren't in my control or weren't planned, I think this week is a perfect week to talk about being peacemakers. We get to learn about chaplaincy and how they can be peacemakers in schools. The world currently is going through a lot where peacemaking would be ideal. I'm sure, even in family life, for some of you, peacemaking would be a hope and a prayer for you as well. So it is an important topic. It is an important topic for each of us today in different ways, whether it be personally or in a family level or a community level. So I just love that God works and works so well in that space. And that this beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, stands as that hope that God offers us in a world often overshadowed by that conflict and discord that we've heard about recently. At its core, this beatitude tells us that peacemakers are blessed and are to be called children of God. But what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Firstly, what it might not be about, and what we can often assume it is about, it's not merely about avoiding conflicts or maintaining this superficial veneer of tranquility or whatever you might potentially think about first. Instead, it's actually about actively engaging in the process of peace building or making peace, not just keeping peace necessarily. When we talk about peacemaking, it goes beyond that absence of war and conflict. It means actively seeking to reconcile differences, heal wounds old and new, and foster unity. It means striving to mend relationships, whether like I said, on that personal level, on in a family setting, or even in a community setting as different groups conflict together. And it certainly means working towards harmony in a world where division seems to be the norm and on the rise. So this beatitude, blessed the peacemakers, challenges us to look within ourselves and reflect on our own role in promoting peace. It calls for us to really get introspective and see where we might harbour those things that create division or hardship for others, where we harbour anger, resentment, or grudges, and to be willing to let go of them. It teaches us that true peacemaking begins with our own hearts and then works outwards. So we need to ask God and the Holy Spirit to work on us first before we can help others in their time of need. And it suggests that when we take that mantle of peacemakers as well, we're actually reflecting the very character of God. That's how we can become children of God. And by bringing peace into the lives of others, we are participating in that divine mission of reconciliation that God has given to us as well. So we find a spiritual blueprint in this beatitude of how to live life, how to live God's purpose in today's world. And it is a proactive thing. So let's have a quick look at those two Bible verses that I mentioned earlier. Matthew 5:23-24 to start with. So in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus delivers this this striking message. We've already got a part of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been talking about, but just a little bit later in the same thing, he says this. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, or sister, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. This passage, I think, offers us a profound insight into the essence of peacemaking. It emphasizes that personal reconciliation takes precedence in God's eyes over outward worship. The imagery of bringing a gift to the altar for us represents the act of worship in its varied ways, whether it be singing, whether it be praying, whatever it might be. But it's significant that Jesus asks us to pause whatever that act of worship is, to make amends to those around us that we have conflict with. So what does it mean for us? It means that if we're holding on to those grudges, we're holding on to those angers and failing to reconcile with others, we're failing to worship God appropriately. In essence, our relationship with God is intricately linked and tied to the way we interact with others around us. To truly offer ourselves in worship, we first must seek reconciliation, forgiveness, offering forgiveness and harmony with others. And so that's the first aspect of that. The second Bible verse, Romans 12:18, is a bit shorter, but it's still quite important. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans here, provides further guidance on this peacemaking ideal. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. This verse is a standard for our interactions with others. It acknowledges that while we should strive for peace, we may not be able to control all the factors that are required for it. Due to outside circumstances or the choices of others, we may not be able to achieve peace in that moment. However, it still firmly emphasizes that we must do everything with our own power to promote peace in our relationship and in our communities. Romans 12:18 sets a high standard, a high bar for our conduct, urging us to be proactive in our pursuit of peace. It reminds us that while we can't control the actions of others, while we can't control the actions of small children running up, we still need to work on what we can control, and that we need to pursue peace in all of its fullness. And it reminds us that while we can't, so these Bible passages serve as some cornerstones, some touchstones that we can come back to. And they're not the full story, but I think they're important that we can look at today anyway and bite off and work on today. But that it says that personal reconciliation is a prerequisite for worship. And it's important. While Romans 12 calls us to actively seek that peace. So hopefully these verses can guide us in that pursuit of divine peace and the divine calling to be peacemakers in all that we do. So what is the essence of peacemakers, or something that we can pull out for today? There's a couple of things here that I want to quickly highlight. The essence of peacemakers. First is seeking that reconciliation. So one of the fundamental aspects of being a peacemaker is second, seeking reconciliation. Do you want to go try and find Honey Ronka? What do you reckon? No? All right, that's all right. And this involves, like I've said a couple of times, actively working to mend broken relationships, heal those wounds, old and new, whatever they may look like, and bridge the gaps that divide us. It's not merely waiting for an apology from someone else or expecting others to take that first step, but it's a call for us to initiate the process of making amends. So we want to seek reconciliation early and earnestly is probably another way of saying that. And I love the idea of earnestly. The word earnestly comes from the idea of seeking something out early, before it's necessary. And so if you want to be earnest in something, it should be done early or early in the morning. And I love that imagery of that. And we can think of the story of Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament. Now, this is not necessarily an early seeking of reconciliation, but their relationship was marred by a bunch of different human factors that we can see in our own lives often. It was marred by jealousy, it was marred by deception, but when Jacob decided to reconcile with his estranged brother, he sends gift and a heartfelt message first. He doesn't wait for the other side to begin that reconciliation. And they were able to make peace at least for a little while, and fortunately their relationship didn't fully recover from it. But it does give us an example of trying to get there early and start first, initiating that responsibility. Second, we offer forgiveness. Forgiveness is that another cornerstone of peacemaking. It's not just about reconciling with others, but also freeing ourselves from the poison and the burden of anger, resentment, and grudges. When we hold on to these negative emotions, they weigh us down and affect our overall well-being and our overall perception of what's going on around us. In the parable of the prodigal son, we witness a powerful example of forgiveness and a powerful example of someone holding on to what they think the relationship should be like. In the story, the son is really coming back to be a worker, a slave or a servant to the father. He's holding on to all the potential hurt that could have happened and the straining of that relationship. The father, however, forgives his wayward son even after he's squandered everything he's given him. And this act of unconditional forgiveness leads to that reconciliation and restoration of the relationship. So we need to offer forgiveness. One way to do that and make it easier for ourselves is to practice empathy. Peacemaking involves walking in the shoes of others, understanding their perspective and empathizing with their feelings and experiences. Empathy is the thing that bridges the gap between differences and helps build bridges instead of walls. The story of the Good Samaritan illustrates empathy well. In a society divided by cultural and religious differences, the Samaritan, moved by compassion, extends help to a wounded man, regardless of where he came from. And it transcends those divides. Empathy is incredibly important. Promoting harmony as well. So being a peacemaker when it doesn't necessarily involve us. We're called to promote harmony in everywhere we go, whether it be our families and it's we're not necessarily part of the argument, in our workplaces, in our communities, our schools, whatever it might be. And it involves actively, again, working towards creating an atmosphere of unity and cooperation, even when there are differences of opinion, differences of background, and we want to try and foster that peace through promoting an attitude of harmony, an atmosphere of harmony. And another way to kind of sum it all up is living out these Beatitudes that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. All of these Beatitudes are interconnected. They're not really meant to be sought after one by one and alone, but it's easier perhaps for us to understand them. But living according to any of these Beatitudes would naturally make us more likely to be a peacemaker So when we show mercy, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness and have pursue that purity of heart, we're in essence promoting peace within ourselves, within others around us, whatever it might be. And so these qualities go hand in hand with that being a peacemaker. So what are some practical ways that we can be a peacemaker in our world today? So number one, I think, is we can reach out. Like I said, that earnestly reaching out, that early reaching out is incredibly important. Reaching out to reconcile with someone when we're in conflict is the first step of peacemaking, no matter where you are. It's the first step. It's about being proactive. It's about taking the initiative to mend bridges. And in fact, it can actually be an important way of showing the other person that you care and disarming the other person from continuing the conflict. It's hard to be vulnerable, but we are called to be vulnerable anyway, and this is the first step. We can imagine Joseph and his brothers, the story of Joseph of Egypt and his 11 brothers, I think it was, 12 maybe. Despite the betrayal and hardships he found there, probably hardship and betrayal that we've never really experienced of being sold into slavery, he still takes that courageous step of revealing his true identity and to his brothers, even though he could have been rejected or hurt more. He could have chose to harbour resentment and made their lives hard, but instead he took a step forward and started that process of reaching out, of trying to become a peacemaker. Forgiving others, again, it's really important. It holds the power to not just liberate the other person of their own maybe shame and embarrassment over what they've done, but it can liberate you. And I think often we forget that forgiveness isn't necessarily always about the other person, it's about us. I mean, personally, I struggled with my dad for a long time. I know some of you may have heard part of that story. But my dad hurt me when I was a kid in a really significant way, and I struggled with that for a long, long time. And all it did for me was create anger, hurt, resentment for those around me, for myself. I chose really poor choices because I was angry at someone else, and all I was doing was hurting myself. But when I started to choose to forgive him, I was able to move past that into healthier ways of being, of being closer to my Heavenly Father, who I was keeping at a distance. And so forgiveness frees us more than it frees the other person. And it's an important practical step of becoming a peacemaker in your life today. Another way of being practical in your peacemaking is listening actively. It's a very, I guess, normalized tool perhaps these days, but it's often one we can forget. Active listening instead of listening to respond is the art of genuinely hearing and understanding the perspective and emotions of others, even when they differ from our own. Active listening paves the way for empathy and fosters an environment where open and honest communication can occur. One of the ways I like to try and do active listening is by starting with the sentence, okay, so what I've heard is, and then finishing with, is that right? And it's as simple as that, saying what I heard is and recapping what the other person has said, and is that right? And they can say no or yes, and then you both know where you stand in that conversation. But it is important, because if you don't understand where they're coming from, where you misunderstand, you can hurt yourself by simply misunderstanding what someone else is saying. But another one is being a mediator as well. Stepping into the conflict of others in an appropriate way is a great way to become a peacemaker, because being a peacemaker is not just about us and our own relationships, but it's about the relationships of others as well. So peacemakers often find themselves in that role of being a mediator. So when conflicts arise in their families that don't involve them, or workplaces or communities like I was talking about before, those who seek peace often take on the responsibility of helping others resolve their disputes. And it's hard though, because being a mediator requires patience, it requires remaining impartial, and a commitment to facilitating a fair and constructive resolution. The Bible provides examples of mediation as well. In the book of Acts, we can see how Paul and Barnabas were involved in mediating a dispute between believers. Their role as mediators helped to restore harmony within the early church community. It's important, and it's something that we can often forget. Finally, fostering unity. Creating that environment of unity and cooperation in our families, workplaces, and community is an ongoing commitment. It's hard. Like everything else we've talked about in these Beatitudes, it's a journey. It doesn't just stop one day and go, yeah, we got there. It's a continuing journey. And it involves setting a positive example and promoting an atmosphere where conflicts are okay, but are somewhat less likely to occur because we can just discuss it instead of arguing with one another. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul again writes about the importance of unity within the church. He encourages believers to be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. This emphasis on unity as a central component of Christian living hopefully reminds us of the important role of peacemakers in fostering that harmony within our own community, within the community outside of these four walls. And so, fostering unity, if you feel like you can tick off all the other ones that are put up there, focus on fostering that unity, that atmosphere. And it's hard to do, but it is important to do as well. We are called, like I said, to be ambassadors of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers extends an extraordinary calling to us all. It invites us to be that ambassador of peace, representing the very character of God in a world often marred by conflict and division. In this role, we're not just bystanders of God's divine mission of reconciliation, but we're active participants trying to heal a broken world with God's help. When we embrace that calling to be peacemakers, we actively sow seeds of peace, mend what is broken, and create that atmosphere of healing and unity. So as we live out this calling, we need to recognize that there is that other aspect of what we're doing. We're living out God's character and becoming God's children. We're becoming his representatives, and in that space that's difficult, because there is that aspect of we become what people see of God before they get to know God first. And so I ask that if it hasn't challenged you yet, what do people see when they look at you? It's a hard question to consider. It's an important one to consider as well. When you profess that you're a Christian, it does put a spotlight on what God's transformation has done for you. And so becoming a peacemaker is indispensable in this world. This world longs for peace, yet it rarely finds it. And we can be those peacemakers, that source of peace, before they get to know God. And in this calling, we find both a purpose and that blessing of being God's children. So our lives can be a living testament to that promise of God, of hope and peace. So, as we finish up today, on this beatitude of blessed are peacemakers, I think hopefully you felt the significance of this, that it is an important thing for us to chase after in our lives, to strive for. It calls for us to be proactive in seeking that reconciliation first, offering forgiveness even when it's hard and it's hurtful, practicing empathy, mediating conflicts, and fostering that idea of unity. So I'd like to add to the kids spot video. I know it was a little while ago now, but if you remember it, I'd like to add that as you put on your shoes this week, every time you put on your shoes, I want you to ask, are you ready to be a peacemaker today? And some ways to do that is by asking these questions. So what is your first step to seeking that inner peace between you and God, or even just things that are happening around you? Do you need to forgive someone before you can be a peacemaker today? Do you need to connect with God because you've been forgetting that and neglecting that relationship before you be a peacemaker today? Could you create a space where you can step away from the chaos and the discord that the world creates for a moment so that you can prepare yourself to be a peacemaker today? So that's the challenge today, is when you put on your shoes, ask something of yourself of how can you become more ready to be a peacemaker. As we reflect on that and on what that looks like in our week and in your world, ask that we also take that into our next song of worship, that as we stand together when you're comfortable, that you really focus on God and what he's saying to you, and use that to not just sing some words together, but to really feel some of those words as well. So we'll move into that space of worship, and if you can stand, we appreciate that you would